Penguin Random House Audio presents That Old Country Music. Stories written and read by Kevin Barry.
I think that the romantic impulse is in all of us and that sometimes we live it for a short time, but it's not part of a sensible way of living. It's a heroic path and it generally ends dangerously. I treasure it in the sense that I believe it's a path of great courage. It can also be the path of the foolhardy and the compulsive. Jane Campion. The Coast of Leitrim. Living alone in his dead uncle's cottage, and with the burden lately of wandering thoughts in the night, Seamus Ferris had fallen hard for a Polish girl who worked at a cafe down in Carrick. He had himself almost convinced that the situation had the dimensions of a love affair, though, in fact, he'd exchanged no more than a few dozen words with her. Whenever she named a price for his flat white and scone and he shyly paid it, offering a line or two himself on the busyness of the town or the fineness of the weather. "It's like France," he said to her one sunny morning in June. And it was true that the fields of the mountain had all the week idled in what seemed a continental languor. And the lower hills east were a Provençal blue in the haze, and the lake, when he lowered himself into it, was so warm by the evening it didn't even make his midge bite sting. "The heat," he tried again, "makes the place seem like France. We wouldn't be used to it. Passing out from it. Ambulance on standby." His words blurted at the burn of her brown-eyed stare. She didn't lose the run of herself by way of a response, but she said, "Yes, it is very hot." And he believed that something at least cousinly to a smile softened her mouth and moved across her eyes. He had learned already by listening in the cafe that her name was Catherine, which was not what you'd expect for a Polish woman, but lovely. At 35 years of age, Seamus Ferris was by no means setting the night on fire at the damp old pebble-dash cottage on Dromard Hill. But he had no mortgage nor rent to pay, and there was money from when the father died, a bit more again when the mother went to join him, also the redundancy payment from Reltech and some dole. He had neither sister nor brother, and was a little stunned at this relatively young age to find himself on a solo run through life. He had pulled back from his friends too, which wasn't much of a job, for he never had close ones. He had worked for 8 years at Reltech, but more and more he had found the banter of the other men there a trial, the endless football talk, the foolishness and bragging about drink and women, and in truth, he was relieved when the chance of a redundancy came up. He had the misfortune in life to be fastidious and to own a delicacy of feeling. He drank wine rather than beer and favoured French films. Such an oddity this made him in the district that he might as well have had three heads up on Dromard Hill. He believed that Catherine, too, had sensitivity. She had a dreamy, distracted air, and there was no question but that she seemed at a remove from the other mullockers who worked in the cafe. The way she made the short walk home in the evenings to the apartments across the river in Cartober again named a sensitivity. She always slowed a little to look out and over the water, maybe to see what the weather was doing. Perhaps she even read the river light, as Seamus did, fastidiously. He could keep track of her route home if he parked down by the boathouse. See the slender woman with brown hair slow and turn to look over the water, and it was only with a weight of reluctance that she moved on again for home. In the sleepless nights of the early summer, his mind ran dangerously across her contours. He played out many scenarios that might occur in the cafe, or around town, or maybe on a Sunday walk through the fields by the lake. It was a more than slightly different version of himself that acted his part in these happy scenes. Seamus as a confident and blithe man, but also warm and generous, and possessed of a bedroom manner suave enough to ensure that the previously reticent Polish girl concluded his reveries, roaring the head off herself in gales of sexual transport. Each morning, when he awoke once more in an aroused state, there was no mercy. It was of Catherine from the cafe that he thought. She was pretty, but by no means a supermodel, not like some of the Eastern Europeans, with their cheekbones like blades, and as Seamus was not himself hideous, he felt he might have a chance in forgiving light. All he had to do was string out the few words right in his mouth. He was in the cafe by now 4 or 5 times a week, and she was almost always on. The once or twice she hadn't been were occasions of crushing disappointment, and he'd glared hard at the Mullickers as they bickered and barked like seals over the trays of buns and cakes. Even the hissing spout of the coffee machine was an intense annoyance when Catherine wasn't there. Along with its delicacy, Seamus's mind had, too, a criminal tendency, this is often the way. A kind of native sneakiness, though he would have been surprised to have been told this. The cafe's toilet was located right by the kitchen, and Seamus could not but notice what looked like a rota pinned to the back of the kitchen door. Catching his breath one Monday morning, he reached in with his phone and took a photograph, and in this way he had her hours for the week got, also her full name. Catherine Zielinski, she was called, and he wasn't back in the van before he had it googled. It might be unusual enough inside quote marks to give quick results. And indeed, within seconds, he was poring over an Instagram account in her name. The lovely profile picture confirmed her identity. It was his Catherine, all right, with her 14 followers. She had posted only 6 times, 6 images, going back to the January previous, and relief flooded through him like an opiate when he found no photos of a boyfriend nor of a baby. It was something more intense than an opiate that went through him when he studied the most recent post, which was from the weekend just gone. It was of Catherine's right hand resting on the bare thighs revealed by her shortish denim skirt. And in the hand, she clutched a slim box set. It was Tales of the Four Seasons, 4 films by Eric Rohmer. Her accompanying caption read, "Got on the weekend." It was a swift job to go to Google Translate with that and find that it meant merely hot weekend. She had humour, as well as taste, it appeared, though in truth Jamie Ferris wouldn't be putting Romare at the top of the league in terms of the French directors. He would in fact rate him no more than highish in the second division, but at least he might be able to argue to her a rationale for this. Her knees were lovely and brown, though possibly a little thick-set, but as it was a case of Mother Fist and her 5 daughters up in the Pebble Dash cottage, this was not a deal-breaker. He spent time with the other images. He tried to decipher them, or, more exactly, to decipher from them something of her character. Her only other personal appearance was in a blurry selfie that showed her reflection in a rain-spattered windowpane, and that was suggestive, somehow, of Catherine as a solitary. There was a poor vista of the river from the bridge at evening. The rest of the images were reposted from other accounts. Someone's pencil drawing of Sufjan Stevens, a cityscape that might have been of the Polish winter, its streetlights a cold amber. And finally, a live shot of Beyoncé at a concert in Brazil in the stance of some new and utterly undefeatable sexual warrior. These images spoke to Seamus Ferris in a low, insistent drone of a yearning he recognised. And he felt that now he should end his play-acting and confide his feelings to the woman. The idea sent him into a fetal.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?